Good morning, Holly. Bob Fisher here, calling from Talking Travel. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. First of all, I really want to thank you for contacting Talking Travel. It was a wonderful email you sent us, and I've just been, in the intro, I've been telling our listeners about it, and you are the executive director of Madomic Camp, and that is in Washington, Maine. And I have my MapQuest up on my computer at the moment, so I can see exactly where you are. But maybe we could begin if you'd tell our listeners where the camp is and, in general, what is the camp all about. So over to you.
The camp, we like to tell people, is easy to find on a map, even if you know nothing about the state of Maine. If you draw a line between Portland, which is its largest city in the south, north to Bangor, and then another line that's going north to south, and another line from Augusta, the capital, to Rockland, which is a coastal town, beautiful harbor with the famous Farnsworth Museum, we're just about in the middle where those two lines intersect.
And I can see that. You're about halfway between Portland and Bangor, and you're just over the Canadian border into New Brunswick, I believe, too.
Well, we're a little bit further. As a matter of fact, we used to run the St. Croix River, which is the in canoes, which is the border. So we're a couple hours from there. But we're in what they call the Mid-Coast region.
Oh, okay.
And the beauty of the Mid-Coast region is that it's so full of artists and artisans and wonderful restaurants and all that. There's so much to explore that it's a perfect area, and the lake water gets just the perfect temperature that points out.
Sounds fantastic. Now, the camp is called Madomic, and am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, you are.
And I'm going to spell it for the listeners. It's M-E-D-O-M-A-K. And can you tell me the origin of the word?
Yes, I can. It means sounding water, and this area is actually, there's a town of Madomic, there's a Madomic River. This was an area, I believe it was the Passamaquoddy Indians that gave it that name.
And this is a very, very special camp. And I'm wondering if you can just, you know, give us an overview of why Madomic is such a special place.
For over 100 years, people have thought it was a pretty special place. When it started as a boys' camp in 1904, it was for all those city boys to get out into the country. And then about 70 years later, part of it was taken to be a girls' camp, and the rest was a boys' camp. For a short while, it was a church camp. And then when my husband and I bought it in 1994, we had just had our fourth child and had met with a lot of alumni who had been at Madomic for years and years, generation after generation. And when they came back, they all said, oh, we'd really love to go back to camp with our kids. They had missed that generation. And so we decided to open it as a kids' camp, and we found out as adults that it is just as magical as we thought it was when we were 12, which is a wonderful thing. There's a beautiful lake, 3-mile-long lake. There's forest, there's fields, there's blueberry fields. And it's, like I said, in the part of Maine where June, July, and August, actually September and October as well, it doesn't get any more beautiful.
And I think you really know what you're talking about because, as I understand, you actually were head counselor at the camp.
Yes, I was. I was a camper there starting in 1965, and I finished off right before I finished college as a head counselor there. And it's just a magical place where a lot of lessons were taught about self-reliance. There were a lot of outdoor skills. There were a lot of trips up onto Katahdin and down the St. Croix River and down Allegash River, and it was all about learning. It was all about being rewarded with these trips after you had mastered the skills. And when we thought about turning it into a family camp, we thought we don't just want to have this be this resort. We really want it to be a place of learning and a place where people feel safe try new things, just like when we were kids there.
And I can see this also as really a very educational, public education in the best sense of the word, but a lot of fun, and the theme of continuity from generation to generation, and it is a traditional summer camp, but it is for the entire family. Now, I'm wondering if you can tell us, how does that work? How do entire families go to camp?
It's very interesting, today's definition of what is a family. And that's something that we've learned. We're a very traditional family, my husband and I and our four kids. What we've found is that when you bring up your family, that could be grandparents bringing a grandchild. That could be a mom bringing up her daughter. It could be a great big family reunion where we fill all 12 cabins with everybody in the family. But what sets it apart is that you do bunk with your family. And if you think of just a real traditional children's camp with the archery and arts and crafts and everything else, we have that, but your bunk mates are not by age, they're by family grouping. And as you sign up, that's who you come up with. You have the privacy of your family in your own cabin, but you could be next door to your sister-in-law. That might be close enough for plenty of people.
Well, I can remember, and I must confess, I was a camp counselor too, Holly, and a camper first, obviously, and then a camp counselor, and so I have some idea of how they worked. I was never in a unique camp like this, however. Can you talk to us a bit about, obviously from the photographs, the area is gorgeous. I mean, we're talking Maine, we're talking the coast of Maine, but can you talk to us a little bit about the facilities? When you say a family comes and stays in a cabin, what about meals? What about beds? Those kinds of things.
What sets us apart, I think, from most camps is that we have real beds. We're not talking camp cots. And after, I think, 1 year of camp cots, we had every camper say, I'll come back if the beds are good. So we went out and bought real mattresses. And so the cabins are actually, the majority of them are brand new. And the cabins are large and spacious, pine, with real windows, with real screens, which is different than a kid's camp. And they have hot and cold water. They have nice bathrooms. And showers, and the family is really in the cabin to sleep. There's so much going on, and up at our dining hall, all our meals are served family style. And once again, there you go. Don't think of kids' camp because it's not macaroni and cheese unless it's homemade macaroni and cheese. But we have gourmet food. We pride ourselves on our food, on fresh, wholesome. We have organic gardens where we use our own produce as much as we can. We may even throw in a marigold or a Johnny Jump Up or a nasturtium into the salad to spark it up a bit. So the food is the kind of food that if you were on your vacation and going to a restaurant each night, you and in the morning and at lunchtime, something that you would go out to eat. We always have children-friendly alternatives. Not every kid likes pecan-encrusted halibut, so we'll have chicken fingers. But
right.
Don't come expecting things like French fries. We really do try to be a little bit more wholesome than some people do at home in their busy lives because we do take the time and we do believe in if you're breathing great air and you're swimming in this beautiful water, you ought to have some really good fresh food, too.
You sound like an all-inclusive family resort. What's the difference between an all-inclusive family resort and Madomic Camp?
I'm not sure there's ever been a time, myself and my friends have ever been on a vacation where, unless we pick up the phone in our hotel room, anybody knows us by name. At Madomic, we only have 12 families a week. We know everybody. All of our counselors know everybody's name. We have family information forms that you fill out before you come to camp. So we even know what you're interested in, what you're allergic to, what you're a little bit afraid of if it's your first time camping. And we really know you. There aren't any hidden fees involved. There's no rental fees for a boat. When you come to camp, you really don't think about money. It really, in that sense, is so much like sending off a kid to summer camp. It's all right there.
It sounds like you're all about relationships.
It's all about relationships. And the relationships we build are really unusual and special. We have had so many people who have come up as campers, kids who started coming, say, when they were 8 or 9 years old, and all of a sudden they're 18, and they become staff members because they just want to come back to camp over and over again. We have people who have come, adults who have come as campers for years, and all of a sudden they have figured out a way that they can free up the whole summer to come up and work as our staff. We have counselors that are very interested and are college age and are kind of grappling with, you know, which path are they going to take.
Yes.
They need that adult camper who just turns them on to something. And we actually have a staff member now who went back to school for her master's degree because of somebody she met at camp, and he is now her major professor.
And you're really in the mentorship business as well.
I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
That was my dream, that the same kind of relationship when you're at a summer camp for a kid, and there's that counselor you look up to. You know, now I realize they were only 4 years older than me, but then, you know, there might have well been 15 years between us. There are people that, because of the relationship you have in a camp setting where you're free to talk and really investigate things that you might have been afraid to in a school setting, you can have those relationships and those conversations that allow you opportunities and to open your mind to different things. And I think that happens a lot.
I'm looking at your website right now, and just for the people who are listening, I'm going to give the website, which is www.medomakcamp.com. A wonderful website, by the way, really user-friendly. And I can see throughout it, too, that, as I said, you seem to be all about relationships, but you're also very much about relationships with nature and with the land. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Well, it was interesting. The camp was started by a gentleman who was actually born on the property, whose grandmother's grandfather was deeded the property in the 1700s. So we know the history of this land very well. And so we have a great reverence for it. My background is environmental education, and my husband's actually a scientist as well. And so when we started up as a family camp, we knew that some of the things that would be in place would be a composting system, for example, and we show people how to use it, how easy it is to scrape your plate.
Yes.
You know, different places.
And compost.
Yeah, so we use those again. We turn that around, and we use them in our organic garden. And a lot of people want to be a part of the garden system, whether it's sitting there and talking and weeding, or bringing me plants that when they show up for camp the next year, saying, I thought this would be great for your garden, and it's edible, things like that. But we also, along with the state of Maine, which has been very clever in their recycling endeavors, we don't put out one trash can wherever you need to have a trash can in a site. We always put out three. We always let people know that it's up to you and it's easy to recycle. We're trying to give them tools that when they go home, they will practice them as well. And along with what we do with our campers, we make, if you will, corporate decisions that we ask the question, how will this affect this property down the road? How will this affect the lake? How will this affect the land? How will this affect our community, depending on what we choose to do?
So a great emphasis on social and personal values, without being particularly preachy, but certainly being active and experiential. And do you find that you are attracting people that are returning to those kinds of values and those kinds of principles, and that therefore you represent an alternative to the traditional forms of family holidays?
In some ways, I'd have to agree with that. Yes, we do. People are looking for something that is more wholesome. People are looking for a place that is really unplugged. We have kind of this credo where we don't have anything in camp where people would fight over it because there aren't enough to go around, like on a playground or things like that. And I think along with our food, along with our philosophy, we make it very clear that when you come to camp, leave all the electronics in the car. You know, give us 24 hours without that junk, and we promise you, neither you nor your children will miss it. And I think sometimes people come because that's what they want. Sometimes people come to camp and they find out that that is what a family vacation can be, that we don't have to go to the amusement park, that we can just be a family. We can find out how to play together again.
An extended family.
And an extended family. So wonderful. We had families come up for a family reunion, which we just thought was, you know, a typical family reunion. People hadn't seen each other in a while. It turns out that two widowers had just married in their late 70s, and their families didn't know each other at all. It was the most beautiful week I can ever remember at camp. People were discovering each other.
And reconnecting on so many levels.
Reconnecting on every level imaginable. And the magic of camp, where that 14-year-old who's the youngest in their family becomes the big sister, you know, to a 9-year-old boy who, you know, might be the youngest in his family as well. And to see how that magic happens between the way they connect and how he's looking up to the 14-year-old and the 14-year-old's feeling so empowered to be a leader and to be a teacher and a role model. And I find that kids and adults tend to be the best they can be because they feel that. They know that's happening in this environment.
I understand you've got campers that come from far away, from long distances, and even from outside the United States.
We've had a special thing happen in the last 4 or 5 years. We have a lot of people who are either stationed outside of the country, in South America, in Europe, who they get a home leave, and they're choosing to come to camp as their home leave because, again, it's just an environment where it's very simple, it's very pure, it's going to be about them having fun together. We also have people who, we had a family who's come for a couple of years from Puerto Rico. We have Canadians who come down. They think it's going to be a little bit warmer, and it is a little bit warmer.
We're on a similar latitude, actually, where I am right now.
Yeah. It's not that much different. A couple of years ago, there was that horrible heat wave that was really pressing in on the East Coast.
But you're also in a very special area geographically in the United States. Can you tell me, and I think you have a program where you actually encourage people to discover that part of Maine.
We have a day of the week we call Box Lunch Day. And on Box Lunch Day, which is in the middle of the week on Wednesday, we encourage people that if they're going to go exploring in the Mid-Coast area, to do it on Wednesday, so we have enough people for all our sports activities and things like that. And what happens is, during the course of the week, perhaps during our main beer and cheese tasting that we do on Monday nights usually, we talk to people all about the farms, the artists, the harbors, the lobster pounds that are in the area, all within a half an hour of where we are at camp. And we help draw maps to show them, you know, exactly, oh, there's this kind of potter that I'm looking for. And someone in our group will always know that kind of pottery, or perhaps a specific potter. You'd be surprised how many people come up to Maine with a list of the artists they want to visit while they're there, but they don't know where they are. So we get very detailed maps, and we help people explore the coast with Camden, or Rockland, or down to Booth Bay Harbor, or some folks head up to Acadia National Park, because we're only an hour and a half from there as well.
Right, wonderful place.
We really act like a junior chamber of commerce, because we not only dispense lots of information, but we tell people, if you met an artist, or you went to a farm, or you found a special place, bring us information, because we'll share it with the next campers who are here. So it's kind of a self-perpetuating excitement about Midcoast Maine, and everybody gets into it. You know, people want to go to the ocean, and they want to be able to look in these little pots to see what they might find as sea stars and sea urchins and things like that. And like I said, they're all, none of them are more than 30 minutes away from camp. So it really allows them the time to be at camp for their kids' sake, because that's where they really want to be.
Yes.
And allow the parents to explore, maybe spend the day at the museum.
Terrific. Sounds wonderful, looks wonderful. And again, the website is www.medomaccamp.com. And we're going to put a link on our website to that. Holly, I've got to go fairly quickly, but I want to ask you one last question. And it's the whole question of the camp as a social institution. Why do you think, especially Madomic Camp, is a social institution?
When people get outside of their frame of reference and outside of their house, and you put them in a place where it's simple, where they have to connect with people. They have to learn how to connect with people. There's a great amount of social education that goes on. It's not like school and it's not like work. You build the connections. You build an excitement. There's a sharing of knowledge. There's such a long history of camping as being healthy, that I think that it's an intuitive knowledge. It's something that almost supplements school and church and home and all those things, and it's intensive. So it's a time to get back to what's important in life.
Thank you very much, Holly. This has been wonderful, and once again, we really appreciate your sending an email to Talking Travel. It's one of the most interesting we've ever received, and happy camping.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great summer.
Bye-bye.
Bye.